Junandaye, Junashaye, Junandaye, Gaye, Junakaye, Gaye.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses. Now, Olivia and I, we've been talking about New Mexico, and I'm trying to convince her that she needs to come on down because the people living in the pueblos there, Olivia, they have a long, long history of cultural traditions, foods, craft, a whole way of life there.
Well, count me in for the next trip, Anita, please.
Absolutely. And when you're there, you'll definitely want to check out the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center in Albuquerque. Now, while I was there, I had a chance to speak with the museum director, Monique Fregua, and she is from the Hermes Pueblo. So here's what she had to say about their traditions and culture and history.
We came from the Four Corners region of New Mexico, and we migrated from there into different locations. There's 19 current Pueblo communities, but at the point of contact in 1540, in the 1500s, I would say, there was thousands of Pueblo people. There were communities and Pueblos that are now extinct, and there were also ancestral sites that each site might have had up to 300,000 Pueblo people living in. And so it was a very prosperous, it was an amazing community. There are five distinct Pueblo languages amongst the 19 Pueblos. So we know because of the common languages that some of them, you know, may have come from here and then branched out. The really important thing about Pueblo people is that we reside in the homeland that we chose. So we may have lived in mesas and mountaintops and were consolidated to a main Pueblo location with the coming of the Spaniards, with the coming of the United States government. But the area in which we live is that was chosen. And so where I'm from, the Pueblo of Jemez, we're told that we went to the Jemez Mountains because of the fertile valleys, because of the protection that the mesas provided. Being Pueblo people, we have a clan system that we follow, and we also look to the spirits of the animals for strength. I'm of the Eagle Clan, and so the Eagle Clan also represents the sky to the north. And it's just really important that that's passed on and that we share the values with our children. Mountain lion, badger, fox, they all have characteristics. The seasons actually begin in the winter for us. Mm-hmm. We believe that that's a time when the earth is resting and that it's replenishing itself for then the spring months. And so when you talk to potters and artists, they say they don't create in the winter time because they're letting the Mother Earth recoup.
So then with springtime, maybe you would start planting?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then harvesting during the summer?
Harvesting during the fall.
The fall. Okay.
And that's when we do a lot of our fall dances. And then in the summertime is more feasting time. Pueblo people are resourceful in that we don't take an animal for granted. We also believe that the animal is a gift to us. And we use all parts of the animal. So if a deer is harvested, we're able to take the hide and create leather. We take the bones and we use them in cooking. We take the antlers and we use them in dance. Every part is used.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sort of a trophy hunt.
Right.
It becomes used. Pueblo people have a strong farming heritage, and it's something that's passed on even to today.
And what are some of the things that were farmed?
Definitely corn, chili, squash. Those were the three sisters. Beans. The Spanish brought in different sort of fruits and vegetables. We have a resilience garden here on our property that tells the Pueblo story of agriculture. Even showcasing different farming techniques from waffle gardens to flood irrigation, and then now using beds and a Pueblo to table concept, which then Boris takes and uses in the cafe. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah, he shared that. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about this technique of planting. I hadn't heard of that before.
So this is called waffle, using a waffle garden. This is done in areas where, like, we live in the desert Southwest, so we get very limited rain. Mm-hmm. And when we do get rain, it's typically fast and furious, mm-hmm. and then it's gone. So pueblos like this would create these waffles where the plant is planted and cared for within this little square. And then the women or the water carriers would bring vessels of water and pour it into that waffle to help that particular plant grow. Yeah.
It was able to then maintain and keep it right in the spot.
So instead of flooding or moving the water by channels, they were actually hand carrying it and watering each individual plant. Mm-hmm. And it's very special because even as a child, I grew up in a farming family. Being a young girl, we were taught, me and my sisters were taught to identify plants and the importance of value of being able to identify, you know, this is a chili plant versus this is a noxious weed. Ladybugs we need, but these are squash beetles and you need to kill them. And because we plant without pesticides or anything like that, it became very important.
Absolutely.
And we were responsible for a row and caring for that row. And as we were going through each plant, my mom would instruct us, if there's a chili plant that's getting strangled by a weed, you never pull the weed out because you don't know if that weed is strangling the root of the plant. Mm-hmm. So if you pull the weed out, you're going to
pull the plant.
So instead what you do is you trace the weed and you break parts of it. And then in a couple of weeks you go back and the plant is actually growing again and the weed is dead. And so little techniques like that, growing up as a child, you're like, this is just the way we do it.
Yeah, it's just learned actually from a very early age.
Through practice, and that's something that continues today as we pass on the traditions to the children.
So are people still farming?
Yes. Yep, very active in farming. It's everything from husking and hulling the corn to harvesting and being out there as part of a community. The corn husk is also saved. Some people use it to create like mulch. Other people save it, the nice ones, and we make tamales out of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so the corn husk is, everything is actually
reused.
Yeah. And at the time you're sitting there, you know, I remember being like a 17-year-old kid being like, really? I have to go through that pile and find the best corn husk with no holes? You feel like you're playing Where's Waldo. But then as you get older, you know, and you go back and say, I need corn husk to make tamales, or I need corn husk, you know, knowing that you put in the work and you know the value that it takes to get there is special. Every pueblo in New Mexico has a different region or life zone that it exists in. So the materials within the earth are varied. So first, the pottery is collected from the earth, the clay. We never use a wheel. None of these are thrown on a wheel. These are all pinched, pulled, or created by the coil method. And so it's amazing when you're able to see the symmetry. The clay comes from the earth. It's processed. We mix silt. It's sifted. There's tons of steps that go into it, and then they create the vessel. Once the vessel has dried, it's sanded, polished. They fire it. The finished pieces are then fired, and they fire it using animal dung.
Fascinating information. Now, Monique is sharing information. She keeps mentioning the vessels, and what she's referring to are those beautiful clay pots with all the geometrical designs and animal designs that you may have seen that are sold. Very nice. Everyone likes to collect those. But they were used to transport water and store things such as seeds to keep them dry. So they really didn't become artistic interests for people to collect until the introduction of the Europeans in the area. So the color of the vessels are based on the type of clay and the color of the soil that's in the particular areas where the people live. Now, I went to the Acoma Pueblo, and they designed a lot of things using white clay because you find more white soil in that area. So when we come back, we're going to talk with someone from the Acoma Pueblo. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. The show today is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses down on beautiful Sapelo Island, Georgia. Back in a minute here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends.